Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco. And I am very excited to be joined by Julie Krugler-Hollick, co-organizer of Pi Ladies San Francisco and data scientist at Twitter. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Julia, I'm very intrigued by all the things that I see on your description. You're a co-organizer of Pi Ladies, which is blows up my head in terms of questions to ask you. You also are a data scientist at Twitter, which is really exciting too. Can you just give you a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I have a PhD in astronomy, and towards the end of my thesis, I realized that I wanted to get out of science. And so a lot of my cohort was trying to get into data science, but I decided I didn't want any job with science in the title. So I went to a coding boot camp thinking I'd be a web app developer. It was great. It was called HackBright Academy. It's for women. It's Python based, and it's meant to get more women into tech. It has a really great mission. Towards the end of that, I started interviewing, and at one of the companies, they snuck a data scientist into my track because of my background, and we ended up having a really interesting conversation, so I decided to join their team. And so a lot of Pi Ladies overlaps with HackBright and HackBright alumni. It was a really kind of nice way to continue my Python education after completing HackBright and to continue to develop the skills I need for data science.
Now, Python has obviously been a programming language that's been out there for multiple years. And it's created a lot of momentum in terms of new ways that you can code. Tell me a little bit about Python and why it's such a cool language.
I think the thing that a lot of people forget was that Python started as a learning language. And so in a way, it's democratized coding. It's made it so much easier for people to learn basic concepts like data structures, for instance, and have it be accessible. So for instance, at Twitter, we use a lot of Scala, and that's a great language. I'm learning it right now. And I don't think that I would be picking it up as quickly if I hadn't learned my fundamentals through Python. And I think what's really great about it is that there is a lot of open source work in the Python community, and one of my favorite stacks is a SciPy stack. That has really helped to democratize large parts of data science, including machine learning and data visualization.
Tell me a little bit about Pi Ladies, and why do you think Pi Ladies exists?
Sure. So Pi Ladies is an international mentorship group with a focus on helping more women become active participants and leaders in the Python open source community. Our goal is to help people who identify as women get into Python and to like be part of the teams that are creating things like the SciPy stack and other parts of Python that are so integrated into tech today. What's been really great is that there are many different chapters, and so there's a San Francisco chapter, there's an Austin chapter, and all of these groups of people kind of take their local culture and the things that are interesting in the tech scene, and they try to provide a way for women to access that information and to learn how to use Python. And it provides really great networking for a lot of people, meeting other women who are looking to hire and looking to change careers.
So tell me a little bit about what does Pi Ladies do in terms of outreach and engagement to that mentorship mission?
Sure. The San Francisco chapter runs off of Meetup. We have about 3,000 subscribers, and so we put on a variety of events. So recently we had data science lightning talks. Sometimes we put on more formal hour-long talks. There have been other activities like hands-on workshops. And one of my favorite things that we do is we have like a hands-on study group, hands-on Python, and it meets every week. People with all different levels of Python experience come and bring their personal projects, go through tutorials, and there's just like a lot of people there who can help each other and bounce ideas off of each other and really instruct.
Open source has been such an important part of people who engage in Python. How do you connect that with machine learning and the growth in machine learning as a discipline in terms of software development?
I think that machine learning is interesting. When you think about it, there are kind of two types of people who use machine learning. There are the people getting PhDs, developing algorithms to try to get the latest and greatest and the fastest. And then there are people who are using it. And so they're really complex topics, but they don't have to be. They can be abstracted in a way that makes it usable for everyone. And so one of the most, I think, important parts of the SciPy stack is scikit-learn. And so scikit-learn is a machine learning library, and it allows people who maybe don't necessarily know how to derive all of these algorithms from first principles to use something like, say, logistic regression or random forest in ways that helps them to do better data science, to help their businesses.
Now, you are a data scientist by trade at Twitter. Tell me a little bit about the field of data science, and what is it about that it seems like everybody is becoming a data scientist lately. Tell me a little bit about what that means to be a data scientist at Twitter.
Sure. I think that data science right now is kind of in the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. It's not really clear all the time exactly what it means. Like, for some people, data science means only machine learning. For other people, it means a lot more analytics. For some people, it means bean counting. I think the sweet spot, though, is when you combine people who can do analytics and predictive modeling. Mm-hmm. And then communicate those results. So, like, as a data scientist, it hasn't necessarily been my technical background that's helped me the most. It's been my ability to communicate ideas. There's an aspect of social engineering in data science that I think is overlooked, but is so important.
You talk about machine learning and data science as a wild, wild west. Where do you think it's going in terms of maturing as a field? And what do you think we'll be able to do with machine learning and data analytics when we get there?
I think that a lot of companies now are making more data-driven decisions, which is exciting for me since I'm a data scientist. And I think that as data science as a field matures, we'll find better techniques. I think that we'll be able to make the world a better place in an automated fashion. I think the one thing that we do need to be careful about, though, is as a data scientist, we have kind of a responsibility to make sure we're being ethical. So if you look at certain data sets like housing data, like who can get a mortgage, if you look at historic data and you put it through a machine learning model and blindly look at the results, you see that people of color don't get mortgages nearly as much as others. And so the reason why is because there's this historic systemic bias against them. And so as a data scientist, our job is to do really hard thinking, really complex work, and try to like make that abstracted for others to use. And so we need to make sure that our inputs are not biased or that our models can handle that so we don't have deleterious results for minoritized folks.
That's interesting. That example, if we use that data set to train a machine learning algorithm, we're basically training bias.
Yeah.
How, as a data scientist, do you approach that in terms of ensuring that the right result is being delivered in what you're developing?
Yeah, it's really hard. And some of it, you have to like look at a case-by-case basis and try to figure out, okay, what is this data set? Where is it coming from? What are the ways in which bias has been introduced or has always been there? And how can I work to make sure that my model is working right? Does it mean doing different weights? Does it mean oversampling? And it's sort of like you have to play with it and make sure that your results aren't horribly bigoted, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Just one final question for you. If folks want to engage with you online and continue the conversation or find out about how to engage with PyLadies, where would they find you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. My handle is jkru, J-K-R-U, and I am very active on it. And so feel free to DM me or message me.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to follow you right now. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.